Today on the Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the haunted trails of Gettysburg and the Rainworth Lodge. Today we'll talk about the paranormal in Gettysburg, both inside and outside, with the owner of Rainworth Lodge, Daniel Bonner, and the owners of 10 acres of haunted trails, the Haunted Trails of Gettysburg, Terry and Amanda Thomas. Terry, have you been able to connect some of this where you're really picking up on things, or a lot of people commonly when they come out to tour the property and investigate, have you historically found any connection of something that happened in a certain location on your land?
Well, yeah, like Walter, you know, I had no idea about, I knew that there was a battle here. I knew that Wade Hampton and the Confederates had put cannons here on the property and were firing over at Hunterstown. The Park Service had come out because the Park Service is very strict. Whenever anybody finds stuff, they want to come out and find out, make sure it's not their property that you're finding artifacts on. So they had came out because they had heard that I'd been finding artifacts out here. And they brought a bunch of maps and stuff. And we were talking, and they said, well, for 25 years, we have been looking for a stone with a initial in it. They didn't tell me the initial anything. And we have the accounts of this soldier that was brought to a property around Hunterstown and buried there on the property. And I thought about it for about a half hour. And I go, well, I know a stone here on the property that has an initial in it. So I took them over to it, and more or less they were speechless. So what had happened was, during the Battle of Hunterstown, a young 20-year-old, no last name, but by the name of Walter, was shot in the chest, brought over to a property near Hunterstown by a relative, and buried on the property. Now, the Confederacy did that a lot, especially if you had a relative, because what they would do is, after the battles, they would go retrieve the body and to take it back home. They brought this story about Walter, and it stated that after he was buried, the relative had gone back to his unit, and the following day was killed at Pickett's Charge. Now, when I go out there now with my metal detector, I can go over top of Walter. It shows he's probably about 2 feet deep. He still has his sword, his buttons, his belt buckle. Everything is still with him. Now, the Park Service literally wanted to excavate him, but we wouldn't allow it. We felt that that was his resting place, that we were going to, you know, just leave him alone there. And, you know, with Walter, you know, he's so attached to Amanda in the very beginning when things would be happening, because she could sit there with a flag, no wind, and all of a sudden just say, Walter, can you touch my hand with the flag? This flag would come up and touch her hand.
Oh, wow.
And then go right back down. But whenever I walked up, he wouldn't do nothing. He was quiet. So it took a good year before he really got used to me being around.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least a year. But when I heard that story about him, I mean, they even had a map of what shows 15 to 20 graves here on the property. You know, you have to understand that things look a lot different than 160 years ago. When we walked around the property, they said, let's see if we can find any more, you know, of the graves. Well, we walked over to this one spot that we thought was around the area that was on their map, and here's an open grave. Now, we didn't know if anybody had been put in it or not until about 2.5 years ago. My uncle came out and decided he wanted to metal detect the open grave, and we found a hardy pin, a few buttons, a bullet, and a Washington inauguration button, which is only the fourth one to be found in Gettysburg. Now, I asked, why would there be a Washington inauguration button? Well, a lot of soldiers from the Confederacy would bring a memento from home. Washington was from Virginia. So whatever soldier was buried there at that time, he, you know, had dropped that Washington inauguration button, and we were lucky enough to find it. I believe that we just found within the last year, we found the remains of a horse. And not even a foot away was all of the artifacts of a soldier. So there is a spot that we're still working on now that we believe a horse and a soldier fell together.
Wow. What do you do with those artifacts that you find? Do you leave them there? Do you collect them? And if so, where do you put them?
Yeah, we have them in display cases in the house. That is something that we decided that we would do. If anything were to ever happen and something, which we will never do, sell this property, all the artifacts would go at the house. These guys died on this property. Mm-hmm. So we believe these artifacts need to stay with this property.
And I have to ask, because, you know, I've talked so many times about haunted artifacts and haunted objects. Do you feel like when you brought some of those in the house that you brought other things in with them? And by other things, I'm talking spirits.
Yeah, that, and I will say that we have some of the artifacts down here in the cellar that people can look at when they come to investigate, and we've put K2s on top of the display cases, which detect electric magnetic fields, and they go off from the objects. They spike.
That does not surprise me.
Now, I also deal in antiques, so I believe I bring in a lot of stuff, too, with the antiques that I buy.
And especially there, because it's just so active, a haunted object would be right at home. It's like, look, there's so many.
I feel like that's kind of what a lot of them do here, is they feel at home. And a lot of people have said that, you know, it's our energy, that we're very welcoming, and, you know, maybe they just want to be heard, a lot of them. And I just try to be positive about it and welcome them all. And very, very interesting some days.
And Daniel, do you feel like your property also attracts spirits? You know, I've talked a lot about, people say they're kind of like traveling spirits. They come by for a while, like the energy's always changing there. And I kind of feel like that on the trails and around Amanda and Terry's property. Do you feel like that? Because, you know, talking about the shadow figures in marching, it just seems like there would be so much activity.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And that's what I was trying to get at also earlier, was the lights flickering on and off. That hasn't happened. I haven't heard that reported by anybody else. And so that had just happened when that previous stay, the guests were staying there. And so there's always something new that seems to just all of a sudden start being a thing. Running up the stairs when I come into the lodge when nobody's been in there for 4 days. You hear that. You open the door and you hear running up the stairs.
Which is such a distinctive sound.
Exactly. That hasn't been reported by anybody. And it just started up out of nowhere, and it's been a thing, and it hasn't stopped since. So there's definitely, it seems like a new spirit came in and started doing that. Here recently, we were getting the lodge ready for guests, and we had about an hour left till we were going to get there, and I have one last little thing to do, put pillowcases on pillows. I grabbed a stack of pillowcases, I had them in the bedroom, but I had to go downstairs for something else. And came back to it, and still to this day cannot find the pillowcases.
Oh, they're that gone.
Exactly. And
wow.
I mean, there's no way for it to have been out. The guests would have seen it and would have said, hey, you had a stack of pillowcases in the dryer or oven or something. I don't know. But they're gone. They still haven't came back up. We had to get four brand new pillowcases.
And you know, the lights have flickering after I gave you the old antique cuckoo clock.
Oh, the light started flickering after he gave me this cuckoo clock from an authentic cuckoo clock from Germany.
So this is Terry's fault.
Yeah,
I love being blamed for everything.
Well, Terry, Daniel, excuse me. I wanted to ask you, because I wanted to ask you about objects that you've found, because you have a blacksmith shop, you've got this really old property. You have had to have found things on your property as well.
We have not metal detected yet. Unfortunately, when we bought the property and was staying there, it was so cold it couldn't work on the property. So when it warmed up and we would be able to start metal detecting, I had to work on the property and get it ready for guests to come in. And I still have not been able to metal detect yet out there.
It'll be interesting when you do.
One thing he does have on the property that I noticed when I went there, being so much into antiques, he has some hand-forged wrought iron lamps that at one time were probably for candles, and he has them in a box right now that yep. had all been electrified afterwards. But these are all original and all hand-forged. So I believe that these were actually made by him when he was a blacksmith.
Yeah, and that's he was explaining the process of how they did it back then. So he's, and again, he deals with antiques. He knows how to date artifacts and things like that.
Do you keep quite a few artifacts in the house? Kind of give it the house enough. Seriously, looking at pictures and stuff, the house looks pretty creepy to me. Just you look at not that, and I'm not saying anything about the care of the house. It just has that, you know, when you look at a picture of yes. something and you just pick up on stuff. That,
oh, so, all the time. I drive by and I'm like, that place is haunted, I bet. That place is haunted.
I do that all the time. Now, when people take a tour of the trails, and I'm trying to visualize this in my head, is it very wooded? So say I'm thinking 10 acres. You go out there at night. Someone like me, yeah. I could get turned around. And
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it's very, very wooded. And it's very, very, very dark. I have everybody bring a flashlight, because if you shut that flashlight off, you're not even going to see your hand in front of your face. So it is, and a lot of people actually do get turned around, and some people actually don't want to stay out there by themselves. They ask for me to stay out there because they get too scared. And I have had people get turned around, and I've had to come out and, you know, grab them and bring them up to the front.
I like to call it the funhouse effect.
That makes
a
sense.
Lot of people will get that funhouse effect out there. When I widened the trails, I used all natural trails out in the woods, which were deer runs. So all I did was made them wider so people could walk through the trails.
When they're going through the trails, have people reported back to you quite a bit of activity, I'm going to guess?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, probably hundreds of experiences. People, almost every single tour, I would say probably at least maybe 95% of my tours, somebody gets touched. Whether that be a light touch on, and it's all gentle touches, just like either touch on their hand or the back of their head.
Back of their chair. They love rubbing women's face.
Yeah. And they also like touching women's, the back of their hair. Daniel, we were just out by the fire not that long ago, and we weren't even investigating, and he got touched, and what happened?
Well,
exactly.
I was sitting there and I could feel something pretty much slightly run up the back left corner of the chair, pretty much where my shoulder is. When I felt that, I could hear the fabric also. And my wife, one of our friends, I think even Terry, was looking at me because they heard it. And I realized there's no kids, nothing behind me. So I jumped up and I was like, what was that? that was fun.
And that's one of those experiences where you move automatically because you think it's a critter or something, you know, it just makes you jump.
In my mind, I thought it was a bat. I don't know why. I pictured a bat landed on the back of that chair and was climbing up it and then squeezed my shoulder a little bit. But yeah, as soon as I jumped up, because Lynn, our friend, heard it, I guess she already had her phone out and ready, because I said, flashlight. It was already on. I was like, wow. But there was nothing there.
I mean, we've had it where me and my son were just in the house one night, and all of a sudden we heard what sounded like something running back and forth in the attic. Well, the attic, to get into the attic, it's one of those old pull downs, you know, pull down stairs. Well, you know, I went up there and it stopped. Well, as soon as we closed the door again, we heard giggles. And then we heard the pitter patter of little feet running back and forth and giggling. And it went on all night long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. People have seen stuff in the trees that look like monkeys. that we had three ladies swear that there was a bear out there, but they said that it was a ghost bear.
It didn't make any noise.
And it didn't make any noise, but it was like solid. So we had to like go back there and make sure there really wasn't a real bear somehow, even though they didn't hear it and it disappeared. And we've had one guy say that there was an apparition behind a tree, and the apparition actually shook the entire tree.
We've had accounts where, in many occasions, where people, investigators, professional investigators come out, lose a piece of equipment. They know they sat it down at the back fire pit, and a year later, it's back at the back fire pit right where they laid it.
Like, I don't always understand that. It's like it's missing, like the pillowcases, yeah. Daniel. Yeah, you are going to go.
Pillowcases, buy new ones.
And they're going to show up.
An example is I've had to buy 8 dozen forks in the last 6 months because for some reason there's a spirit around here that likes to collect forks and we cannot find them anywhere.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And they do that. They'll just. I mean, yeah, because I had one lady, it was her daughter that was out here, and she lost her necklace out on the trails, and I found it, I think it was like 3 weeks later, and it was just laying there, like in the middle of the trails, and I'm out there walking all the time. I'm a very nature person, so I'm always out there, and I didn't see it walking, and then all of a sudden it just appears. And it's very, very, very bizarre. But they do that. They'll play little tricks. And it's like, where does this stuff go? Yeah. I just don't even know. It makes no sense.
And one question I wanted to ask you about, and you brought this up much earlier, was that you've had people come out and do an investigation, and they've been contacted by their own loved ones that weren't even connected with this land or anything.
Yes.
Can you share a little about that?
Well, the most recent one was a young girl. I think she was about 18 years old, and both of her parents had passed at different times, but in tragic ways. And we have what's called the Phasma box down here in the cellar. It's like a spirit box. And they both had come through to her on the Phasma box. And just given her clarity and told her, you know, they wanted her to be happy. And, I think her mom said, be happy. And it was her mom's voice.
Oh.
And then, I can't remember the exact message she got from her father, but we were all crying. Everybody in the group was crying. She was crying. And, when she left here, she said that just, you know, provided a lot of clarity and a reassurance for me, you know, as a young adult to, you know,
the best
move
one.
On. And, but the best one was in the way beginning. We had the Phasma box on, and the Phasma box said Olive Garden, and we're like, Olive Garden, like what in the world? It was the strangest thing. And the one lady in my group grabbed my arm and she's like, that was meant for me. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, I was jumping for joy. And she just got really emotional. And she's like, I can't talk about it. And, you know, I respected that and just didn't say anything more. Well, the next day she sent me a really long email. And in the email, she had told me that her brother and his wife had died in a horrific car accident. I think it was like the year prior. And the last time she had seen him was at Olive Garden. They were having dinner at Olive Garden. And the story gets even better from that. She was on her way here and she was thinking about him, and she wanted to get a tattoo in memory of him because they were really close. And she was thinking about getting either an Olive Garden tattoo or another tattoo that was meaningful, you know, to them and their relationship and everything. And she got the word Olive Garden. So it just totally, and we've never had that word any other time but that. And I cried when I read that message.
Oh, yes.
She's like, I can't thank you enough. She's like, I don't know whatever it is you have out there, but it's a blessing. And so, and yeah, and there's just been, we had a police officer out here, and his mom had come through to him, and she had just died a week prior. I mean, I've had people email me and be like, you know, this person came through, you know, but I didn't, you know, some people are kind of scared of it, so they don't really want to say anything, or they'll say, you know, names of somebody's loved ones that come through to them out here, nicknames. I mean, it's just, it's a lot. So why I believe it, there's some sort of energy vortex that can connect with all spirits, no matter, you know, how long ago they passed.
The spirits here are very, they love to interact with people. We had a young boy came out last October, and, you know, I think he was, what, 9 years old?
Yeah.
And the first question he asked was, do you like Taco Bell? And the spirit came back and said, yes. And then he goes, well, what do you like? And it's a burrito. And I mean, for the whole night, they talked, him, the little boy, and this spirit talked about Taco Bell.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So they're definitely obviously not residual. And maybe some of it is residual, but definitely intelligent and definitely different periods of time, like all periods of time. I mean, we've had St. Francis come through. We've had Jesus come through. I mean, it's just all kinds of energies come throughout here. It's very interesting.
We have an older gentleman that comes out every Christmas Eve, and that's every Christmas Eve for 4 years now. And he's very, very religious. And he sits down here for, what, 4 or 5 hours. And that's all he does is talks religion with them. And they talk back to him religion.
And with all the activity there, I think that when you would, if like, say, if I was to go there, it just would kind of open me up. And to get through, like a loved one to get through to you, you've got to be open to it. Your property kind of allows people to open up so things can come through. And then anyone can come through. Because I love the Olive Garden story and the girl hearing, you know, be happy. That's amazing to me.
My favorite is the skeptics. We had a gentleman came out a couple of years ago. The whole night he was carrying his phone around watching a Penn State game. And he decided to come downstairs finally in the cellar with his wife. About 10 minutes later, he comes running up. He goes, I'm sitting out at the fire pit. He sits next to me. He goes, I'm a believer. He goes, they said my name 3 times and asked me what I was doing. And he's a true believer now. And Daniel's seeing how much activity can happen out here. And we're seeing how much activity happens at his place now.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because we go over there and, you know, do stuff and experience stuff. And now he's over here and he's experiencing stuff. Yeah. That's why I said I really believe there's something definitely happening in Gettysburg that's it's just a lot of energy here for sure.
Something brought Daniel here because Amanda, you know, usually she doesn't want to do one person investigation. And for some reason that night she said, yes, I'm going to do it. And Daniel was brought here into our life. And now it's opened up all of our eyes even more with what's going on and what can be. So that's why we are working with the Rainworth Lodge now. I think that's what the spirits wanted.
And I told him too, I said, you know, maybe there's some kind of connection between our property and his. I don't know, but it's very interesting.
That's like the first EVP Amanda ever got out here on a recorder was, we want to be heard. And that's what got her more interested in doing something out here because they do want to be heard.
And, you know, with the properties being so close, there it could have been families living nearby, friends. You know, the two properties definitely could have been connected in a number of different ways, really.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You think about it.
This was not a very big place back then.
Yeah.
So people living here.
No, Gettysburg only had, I think during the battle, only 2,200 people.
Daniel, someone can rent your lodge, the Rainworth Lodge. And they could do their own paranormal investigations there, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So how do they go about getting information? What's the best way for people to get? And I will post this as well in the description of the episode so they can link that way too. But what's the best way to be able to rent it?
The easiest way is they can go through Vrbo. And the link to the Vrbo page is also on our Facebook page. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And I'll
let's
find
just
that.
Say it's probably easier to go to the Facebook page right now. And it has on the Facebook page how to book the place directly through Facebook, which is contacting us. Or they can go to Vrbo with the link that's provided on the Facebook page and book that way as well.
And that is Historic Rainworth Lodge, correct?
Yes,
the
ma'am.
Facebook page, yeah. So just search that.
And we
already
get the website put together right now. I'm waiting to actually hear back for it to be finalized.
And there's lots of pictures. People can look at the pictures there too and
yes.
kind of get a feel for it. But it would be really cool to, I don't know if I have the nerve to spend the night in your lodge, with all respect, Daniel, but especially after this conversation, because I'm kind of afraid of things sometimes. It's like, I don't want to open up too much. But if they stayed there and they could also go do the trails, you know, go book an investigation there.
Exactly.
So it could be a whole 3 or 4 day or like fun paranormal investigation vacation.
Exactly. That's the plan right there.
But you guys have a website though, Terry and Amanda, the hauntedtrailsofgettysburg.com.
Yep. Yep, the Haunted Trails, yep.
The Haunted Trails, and then on Facebook, it's Haunted Trails of Gettysburg, I think.
And please come out.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I would love that. It's, like I said, it's a bucket list thing. It is a bucket list thing for me, so I will be there. I have a nephew in Philadelphia, and I'm going to go him.
I also give free tours of the battlefield, so I'll take you out on a day tour of the battlefield, show you all the spots out on the battlefield.
Oh, I am taking you up on this. I'm
telling
definitely. You. Because that would be amazing.
And if you want to stay at the Rainworth Lodge, I'll stay there with you.
We would have, there'd be so much stuff going on that night.
Yeah. Because I know once he gets a break with people, I know I want to go back there because there he actually has a spirit in the cellar that called to me. That wanted me to talk to him. So I need to go back there and find out what message he wanted to give.
You have to let me know when you do that. I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to do a part two and find out what the message is.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And when we are slow at the lodge and there's not, especially during the slow, like cold months, pretty much where it's going to be, but also here soon, we're going to be doing group ghost hunts at the lodge. As well.
So they can just keep up with all that on your Facebook page. So
exactly.
Follow that.
We and put you can events get up that. There. And even if there's not an event and they just happen to be in town, if there's no one at the lodge, we don't mind doing a group ghost hunt. Just spur of the moment.
That's
fine.
So cool.
They just have to contact us to find out while they're here if there's available time to do it.
You guys have been great. I really appreciate your time today.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We appreciate your time.
Yes, absolutely.
And that wraps up our conversation about the Haunted Trails of Gettysburg and the Rainworth Lodge. If you'd like more information, visit thehauntedtrailsofgettysburg.com. And you can get information about staying at the Rainworth Lodge, as well as paranormal investigations, on their Facebook page. Just search Historic Rainworth Lodge. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there also, all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks so much for listening.